Mr. Ashley, Real One, I wanted to start off just by getting a bit of information about your personal background. What part of the country do you come from?
Well, actually, I was born in Wiltshire.
Yeah.
In a little village where my mother kept the... we had the only shop there and the post office, you know. And my other uncles had the farm, the only farm there, a place called Eddington, which is 4 miles from Westbury, and still today has only got the inhabitants only about 600, same as it was then, it was only a hamlet. And my father was a postman, and then from then he was transferred to Blandford in Dorset when I went to school. And from Blandford in Dorset I joined the Navy.
Oh, I see. Well, what was the size of the family?
There was two sisters, three brothers, five of us. I was one of three brothers, two sisters and two brothers and myself.
Where did you come in the order?
I was second. I'm the eldest because the eldest one is dead.
I see. Yeah. How was the family? Your father was a postman. How were you off? Were you sort of reasonably comfortably off?
Oh, yes. We've had the worries that way.
Yeah, good. And school, what schools did you go to?
Well, I went to the ordinary school in Blandford, and then I didn't go to school anymore until I went to Oliver Goldsmith College when I came out of the Navy, actually.
I see. Yeah, how old were you when you left?
1920, 1897, 1923. Three.
But when you left school before you went?
Oh, well, I left school at 14 in those days, yeah. Mm. And I started off as a telegraph boy in the same office where my father was a postman.
Before you went into the Navy, did you have any kind of sort of hobbies or interests of a naval character?
Like? No. Actually, I can tell you why I joined the Navy. It was because a pal of mine came home and he was spinning me yarns about his experience abroad, especially in China. And I immediately said to my father, well, I'm going to join the Navy. He says, you're not. Well, I said, I am. And I pushed off to Southampton and joined.
And was this the only reason why you were attracted to the Navy?
Well, yes, and Blandford was a very small place. There was nothing there to do, you know, of my age, about 15. All we used to do was congregate at the street corners and get up to mischief, but not the mischief they get up to today.
Was the opportunity to travel a big part of it?
Yes. I wanted to get out of Blandford because Blandford was one of these one-eyed towns, you know.
I see. Good. When you decided that the Navy was the thing for you, this would be in February 13, how did you actually go about joining? What was the drill?
Well, I went to Southampton. I remember getting the King's shilling at that time, you know, and joined it there. And I know with this shilling, I went to the Southampton Hippodrome that night. And as I came out, I ran into my eldest brother who didn't know anything about it. And he said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I've left home. I'm joining the Navy. And from then, they gave me a bed in Southampton somewhere. And then I went on to Devonport in the morning.
I see. Before you learnt anything about the Navy, did you have any particular views about it? You know, what do you think of the
Navy? No, I didn't know.
Senior service, did you think it was important?
No, I didn't know. I had no idea of joining the service at all because none of the family had been in the service. Only an old uncle of mine who was a merchant navy captain. But I had no idea of ever going to sea.
Did you have any preconceived ideas about the Navy itself? What its importance was, what its job was?
No, it was this bloke coming on leave who I went to school with, more or less. Gave me the background about the Navy and gave me the idea.
Mm. On the whole, people who joined the lower deck of the Navy, how do you think they saw themselves? What kind of... Did they see themselves as sort of fighting men or as tradesmen or as sort of gay travel around the world, women in every port people? What was their view of themselves?
I thought it was going to give me an idea of travelling around the world. that was my idea, really, when he told me about where he'd been in the Navy, you know. I thought to myself, well, I can do the same.
When you joined up, what seemed to be the sort of level of the boys who joined up with you? Their sort of educational and home.
Well, we're all about the same standards, you see. You had to take an educational test when you are in the Navy to see which branch of the Navy they're going to put you in, either stoking or seaman or wireless or torpedoes, whatever it is, you see.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Good. Now, your first posting as a boy was to Impregnable. Tell me in as much detail as you can remember what form the training took on Impregnable.
Well, first of all, you wasn't allowed to put any shoes or stockings or socks on until after 4 o'clock. You had to walk around in bare feet and do all your training in bare feet. And before breakfast, you either did boat pulling or boat sailing for an hour. After that, you came back, had breakfast, then you did an hour's PT after that. And from then on, the rest was, in the mornings was school, and in the afternoon was sort of rope knotting and all sorts of seaman's duties, you know, laying out knots and making knots and...
What did school consist of?
Well, school was like an ordinary school. I mean, you had your arithmetic, geography and history.
Did it take any of those subjects to a higher standard than you'd had at school?
Oh, yes, yes. They were higher than the standard I had.
Mm-hmm. I see. While you were on Impregnable, did you have any kind of what I would call military training, like marching, rifle drill, that kind of thing?
Oh, yes, you did your rifle drill.
Tell me about the various kinds of military training you had.
Well, you had this rifle drill, I think, was about an hour a day, I think. Then you're always marching. I mean, you're doing marching. Well, that came in under your PT, you know, marching and...
Yeah. The physical training, apart from physical jerks, was there any other aspects of it? I mean, what about swimming, for example?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, if you want to know the story, I had my first leave stopped because I was what they called a backward swimmer. I couldn't pass any swimming test.
What happened exactly?
Well, they stopped my leave until I passed. I had to pass until I... So I lost about 4 days' leave.
Tell me about the test, what you had to do and what you...
Well, you had to swim in this swimming tank with nothing on, and then you had to swim with a duck suit on. And I failed with a duck suit on because it was heavy and I was only a small lad then, in those days. Because I was one of the smallest blokes to ever join the Navy. I was 4'10½", 29 inches round the chest, so you can tell how large I was.
Yeah. Okay, let's go on to your next... Was there any other aspect of training at Impregnable that you haven't mentioned?
No, only the, of course, the boat sailing. We didn't have to go over the mast there, not like we did in Ganges. No, it was all boat sailing. It was the sort of the makings of a seaman Impregnable, you know.
Yeah.
And once you pass your school examinations, according to that, then you had to choose your career. So you didn't choose your career into the Navy until you passed your school examination, the final examinations at school. And then according to where you were, you had the choice of... I chose wireless and signals. And I think that was purposely the idea of getting out of Devonport and going somewhere else, because the Ganges was in Felixstowe.
As part of your training at Impregnable, did you get any training about the Navy itself? You know, its history, its role?
Oh, yes, you had lectures. And, of course, you had lectures by the doctor as well, as regards venereal disease and things like that, you know.
What did he... tell you to keep away from...
Or use these dreadnoughts they used to dish out in the Navy in those days.
Yeah, I see. All right. Fine. So you moved on to Ganges after that. Oh, before we leave Impregnable, could you just tell me what... When you first got to Devonport, where Impregnable was moored, describe to me what you saw, you know, what these old ships were like.
Well, there's these... The Powerful was an old... I remember a four-funnel cruiser. The Impregnable were two old sailing ships, Impregnable 1 and Impregnable 2. But the powerful, as I said, was only used for sort of kitting up. And you had your first meal there, and then you went on Impregnable 1 or Impregnable 2 to do your training, boys' training.
I see. Now, after the Impregnable, then the Ganges, you went to Ganges to train as a signalman.
Signalman wireless, yeah.
Tell me as much as you can remember about the training you had on Ganges. What did that consist of?
Well, Ganges was, in the morning, was signal school all the time, semaphore, sounder, buzzer, wireless. Then in the afternoon was paper. Then the next day it would be flag signalling. Then the next day would be semaphore signalling.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Everything was connected with signals in the Ganges, apart from your physical training, which carried on wherever you were, you know, as a boy.
Did school carry on?
Yes, you went to school just the same. But not so long. I think you had about an hour a day at school, if I remember.
Now, after you'd finished your basic training, first on Impregnable and then on Ganges, were you then fully trained, or were parts of your training continued?
No, you were fully trained.
Did you get any more training at all, aboard ship or...?
No, no. No, I went straight from the Ganges to HMS Victory one day, and I was commissioned the Iron Duke the next day. She was, that was the first commission.
And throughout the rest of your service, you had no more instruction, no more training?
No, no. You gained, you had to do by yourself, you know, to future examinations, sort of lead and signalman and yeoman of signals and chief yeoman of signals, you see.
But in taking those exams, you got no formal instruction?
Oh, no, no. You gained from experience, from practical duties. And possibly the signal officer might, you got hints from the yeoman and all sorts of things like that, but you never had actual training because you never had the time because you would keep, you were watch-keeping all the time, you see.
Yeah. Thinking about the training we've discussed so far, that's Impregnable, Ganges and the various ships, excluding the submarines, which parts of the training seem to you to be most useful?
Well, the initial training in the signal school. That was very useful because that was the basic training and then everything was built up on that.
Were there any parts of the training which seemed to you to be inadequate or a bit of a waste of time?
No, I would have liked more on wireless because wireless in its infancy and then in those days in 1913, so we had all the wireless instruction they could possibly give us.
But as far as you were concerned, the training was pretty first class.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Complaints about the training at all.
Okay. The other aspect of training that I wanted to talk to you about was submarine training. Now, in September 1917, you came off battleships and went into submarines.
Yeah.
Tell me about the period of training you had at Gosport in HMS Dolphin.
Well, the training there was nothing to do with signals at all. The training was, you had to be able to help out on any duties in the submarine, such as loading torpedoes, testing the tanks for the density, for the juice used to drive the submarines. Then you had to, before you ever went into a boat, you had a week's instruction on submarines. You had to go in a diving tank to see if you could stand the pressure of water. And then they took you told you all about the torpedoes, the engines. I'm just the outside, you couldn't remember. You can't carry any spare crews in a submarine. And if a torpedoman goes ill, somebody's got to step in and do his work as well.
You weren't actually in Dolphin for very long. Do you think you had enough training?
Well, no, but the submarine service at that time was all voluntary. And they couldn't get enough people to man the boats, so they were rushing the training. I think, if I remember rightly, it wasn't no more than a fortnight.
I see. Now,